Welcome to the deep dive.
Yeah.
This is where we take your source material, really dig into it, and pull out the most important bits of knowledge just for you. Think of it as your shortcut.
Mm-hmm.
You know, getting you well informed, but with enough interesting details to make it stick. So today we're diving into something pretty central to economics, national income statistics. You've given us this document that covers, well, what it all means, the main ways it gets measured, GDP, GNI, NNI, that sort of thing. And also some pretty important adjustments, like how you get from market prices to basic prices, or from gross figures to net figures. Our mission here is basically to cut through the jargon. We want to unpack what these stats really tell us. Find those core insights in these, well, foundational concepts. And specifically for you, I'm definitely ready to get into the engine room of how we measure economies.
And I'm here to help translate, because let's be honest, these can feel like just dry numbers, right? But they actually paint a picture of how an economy is doing. Think of them as like different camera lenses, each showing you a slightly different view of a country's economic life.
Okay, good analogy. Let's start with the widest lens then. At its core, what is national income? I mean, everyone throws the term around, but how does the material you looked at define it?
Right. So the way your document lays it out, national income is kind of two sides of the same coin. On one side, it's the total money value of all the final goods and services an economy produces, usually over a year. So basically everything the country made. And on the other side, and this is really important, it's also the total income that the country's residents earn in that same period. We're talking wages, rent, interest, profits, all the money earned from economic activity.
Okay, so what's produced and what's earned should sort of match up.
Right.
And why is getting this number so critical for a country? Why does it matter?
Exactly, they should balance. And it matters because, well, this number is the main tool for economists and governments to figure out the overall health, the performance of the economy. It gives you a sense of the potential standard of living for people, and it shows, you know, the country's capacity for investing and spending. It's like the baseline economic snapshot.
Got it. The whole economic pie, and also how the income from that pie is shared out. But like you said, it's not just one number. The document highlights three main ways to measure this: GDP, GNI, and NNI. Okay, let's unpack these a bit. GDP is the one we hear about all the time, right?
Yeah.
What's the specific definition there?
Yeah, GDP, gross domestic product. It's definitely the most common one you see in the news. It's defined as the total value of goods and services produced within a country's geographical borders over a certain time. The key thing there is location. It's about production happening inside the country. Doesn't matter who actually owns the company or the resources doing the producing.
Ah, okay. So like if a Japanese company builds cars in Ohio, that production counts towards U.S. GDP.
Precisely. Yep. And the document lists the usual components: what households spend, that's consumption, what businesses invest, government spending, and then net exports, so exports minus imports. It's purely a measure of domestic activity happening inside the borders. It doesn't track money flowing in or out due to, say, foreign investments or residents earning money abroad.
Right. And that immediately makes you think, well, what about that money flowing across borders? That seems like a big part of the picture, too.
Yeah.
You know, if a country's citizens earn a lot from investments overseas or foreign firms here send profits back home, GDP misses that, doesn't it? So how do we capture that flow?
Exactly. That's where this second measure, GNI, comes in, gross national income. It actually builds right on top of GDP. You start with GDP, and then you add the net income that the country's residents earn from their activities and investments outside the country. And you subtract the income that foreigners earn from their activities and investments inside your country.
Okay, hang on. So GNI isn't about where the work happened, but about who ends up with the income from it. Is that the idea?
That's it, exactly. It shifts the focus. It measures the total income that's actually available to the people living in a country. Doesn't matter if it was generated at home or internationally. So if your country's companies own a lot of factories abroad making profits, GNI will likely be higher than GDP. But if lots of foreign companies operate in your country and send profits home, GNI might be lower than GDP. It gives you a better sense of the nation's actual spending power, kind of its wealth based on its residents.
Huh. Fascinating. So GDP is production inside the borders. GNI is income earned by residents wherever it comes from.
Yeah.
And then the third one is NNI. You said this is where it gets really interesting. NNI. Net usually means something's been taken away, right? What's subtracted here?
Right. NNI stands for net national income. And you calculate it by taking GNI, that total income earned by residents we just talked about, and subtracting depreciation.
Depreciation. You mean like machines wearing out, buildings getting old, roads needing repair,
yeah.
That kind of thing. The capital getting used up.
Precisely that. Your source document also calls it capital consumption. It's basically the cost of the wear and tear on all the capital assets, the tools, the infrastructure that got used up while generating that year's income. So by taking away this cost, NNI gives you a measure of the income that's, well, sustainably available. Income you can use for spending or investing after you've put aside enough to maintain the economy's ability to produce things in the future.
Sustainable. Wow. Yeah, that feels like a really powerful concept here. So NNI is showing the income you have without having to sort of eat into your savings or let your assets decay.
Exactly. If you just looked at GNI, you might be overstating how much income is truly available for the long run because you haven't accounted for replacing the worn-out stuff. NNI gives a more accurate picture of the economy's long-term productive health, its well-being, really, compared to GDP or GNI, because it factors in that need to replace capital.
So let me see if I get this. A country could, say, boost its GDP really fast by running its factories flat out. But if it's not investing in maintaining those factories or replacing old machines, then its NNI might actually look much weaker or even be falling.
Absolutely. That's a perfect example. It really highlights the difference between just, you know, producing a lot of stuff right now versus maintaining the ability to keep producing stuff into the future. NNI can definitely reveal if an economy is sort of living off its capital, you could say, rather than generating truly sustainable income.
Man, that distinction alone feels like a huge takeaway from this material. Okay, so we've got the main measures, GDP, GNI, NNI. But the document also mentioned adjusting these numbers further, talking about prices and value. So what's that about? How do these adjustments refine the picture even more?
Right. These adjustments help us see the economic activity from different angles. Like, are we looking at it from the perspective of the person buying the thing or the person making the thing? The first adjustment is this difference between market prices and basic prices.
Okay, market prices sounds pretty straightforward, like what you actually pay in a shop.
Exactly. Market prices are what the final consumer pays. Crucially, they include any indirect taxes like VAT or sales tax, and they exclude any subsidies the producer might have received. Basic prices, though, are different. They show the amount the producer actually gets for that good or service. So basic prices exclude those taxes on the product, but they include any subsidies the producer got for making it.
Okay, so market price reflects taxes and subsidies aimed at the consumer, while basic price reflects those aimed at the producer. Makes sense. How do you actually convert between them? Is there a formula?
Yeah, it's pretty simple. The formula is basic price, market price, indirect taxes, plus subsidies.
Okay. And the source had an example, right? Could you walk us through that?
Sure. The document uses an example of a product that sells for, say, 120 rupees at its market price. Now, if that 120 includes 20 rupees of VAT, an indirect tax, but the company that made it also got a 10 rupee subsidy from the government, then the basic price, the amount the producer actually pocketed, is 120 minus the 20 tax plus the 10 subsidy, which comes out to 110 rupees.
Ah, I see. That difference, the net effect of the tax and the subsidy, is the gap between what the buyer paid and what the seller received. Why is it useful to know that basic price, the 110?
Well, the document points out that the basic price is really useful when you want to measure the actual output or productivity of specific industries, or if you're analyzing the supply side of the economy. It shows the revenue that's directly encouraging production, sort of stripped clean of the consumer tax part and boosted by any producer support. It really highlights how government policy can shift value around.
That's actually a neat insight. It shows how taxes and subsidies literally change the price received at different points.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the second adjustment sounds like it brings us back to something we talked about earlier, gross versus net values.
Right, exactly. This just reinforces that whole NNI idea we discuss. Gross measures like GDP or GNI, they count everything before you account for that wear and tear, the depreciation on the economy's capital. They include that capital consumption.
And net values obviously take it out.
Yes. Net values, like NNI, are what's left after you subtract depreciation from the gross number. So net value, gross value depreciation. Simple as that.
And the why this matters part seems especially important here, thinking back to our NNI discussion.
Oh, absolutely. The document really stresses this. Net values give you a much clearer, more honest picture of the income or output that's genuinely available. Available for spending or for reinvesting without damaging the economy's ability to produce things next year and the year after. They show you the sustainable level of income, what's really left once you've maintained your tools, your factories, your roads.
So if you're comparing countries, looking at NNI alongside GDP, could paint a radically different story about their real long-term economic health, couldn't it? Like, one might seem to be booming based on GDP, but if its NNI is lagging because it's running down its assets, that's a warning sign.
Precisely. It shifts the whole conversation from just how much activity is happening to, is this activity actually sustainable and improving well-being in the long run?
Wow. Okay, this has been a really great walkthrough of these numbers. We started with that broad idea of national income, then drilled down into how GDP, GNI, and NNI give these different perspectives. And finally, how those adjustments for prices and depreciation give us an even sharper focus. The document you shared really lays out a sophisticated toolkit.
It really does. And understanding these differences, these nuances, straight from the source material you provided, it gives you, the listener, a much more powerful way to interpret economic news than just grabbing onto that single GDP number everyone quotes.
It absolutely does. And, you know, thinking about that last adjustment again, that gross versus net difference, especially GDP versus NNI, it really leaves us with a pretty profound question to chew on, drawn right from the source, and makes you ask, is an economy just sort of churning out a lot of stuff right now? Or is that activity truly sustainable once you account for the wear and tear on the very assets that make it possible? What does using NNI, that net value, truly reveal about a country's real long-term well-being, its future prospects, that the headline GDP figure might completely miss? Definitely something to keep in mind next time you see those economic reports.